So he says, here's what he's saying. He said, preacher, I want you to take charge of this service now. Do what you think you're supposed to do. Amen. But anyway, I feel like I'm supposed to preach tonight. I really do. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been a good service, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. It'd be very easy to just say, well, let's testify and go home. But I really do feel like I'm supposed to preach tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know more how to, you don't even know how to do that in your own church when God moves in. Amen. But I feel more at liberty at my own church when things like this happen. Amen. But I do feel like I'm supposed to preach tonight, and I wouldn't want to get in God's way. I can assure you that. Amen. I would ask you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Ruth, if you would. Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. And when I get to the book of Ruth, I'm kind of like I was the other night about preaching on out of the book of Judges, amen, about Samson. There's so much in the book of Ruth, you don't know where to start. Amen. Seems like every verse, I don't think I know a book in the Old Testament, in my opinion, it seems like every verse is just about a sermon in it. So, but anyway, I just want to give you an overview of Ruth tonight and just make a couple of comments about it and pray the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. I tell you, it has been good to be here. I don't know if you got revival, but I got help. So I can go back and help my church, amen? But it's been so refreshing to be here. Thank you all for all the good things you've done for us, all the good comments, the good food, fellowship with the pastor and his wife, and good services with him, good singing. I mean, it has been absolutely tremendous. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Amen. All right. Ruth, chapter number 4. If you're physically able to stand, we'll stand and read the Bible together. It's a wonderful crowd on Friday night. Amen. God bless y'all for coming. Amen. Especially y'all knew who was preaching and you came anyway. That was a blessing. Amen. Ruth chapter number 4, let's look in verse number 13. Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became the nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, I want to take that thought right there tonight and try to preach on that a few minutes. I'm sure other preachers have preached on that. I personally have never preached on that until recently in my own church. But the Bible said they called his name Obed. And I want to try to preach on that tonight. Obed means worship. The word Obed, for the most part, from what I study, means to worship. And I want to preach tonight on when worship was born. When worship was born. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and a good week and good liberty and good services and all that we've already said. God, you've been good to us. Lord, I pray now, God, you'd help me tonight. I'm not an entertainer again, not to come here to be a performer, but God, to try to preach the word of God. Speak to our hearts tonight, I pray. Certainly we are aware maybe somebody's in the service that's lost. God, you would save them by your grace divine tonight. Help us now, I pray. God, get glory to yourself. That is my prayer. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. For the most part, I'm sure most of us are some degree familiar with the book of Ruth. And of course, the book of Ruth, the outcome of the story of Elimelech, Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and a few more characters, Mahlon, Chilion, etc. and so forth. The outcome of the workings of God in the lives of these, amen, was to bring about the birth of Obed. I mean, ultimately, when you settle the story, there was a marriage, and the outcome of that marriage was a child named Obed. Certainly, this is the story. The whole story of redemption is in this book. And the bottom line that God is working in this book is that we may learn to worship God. At least that's what the point I'm headed for tonight, amen? Because only he could bring to pass what transpires in this book to get us to the birth of Obed, who is worship, amen? So the providence of God is working in our behalf to get us to a place to worship God. I want to say that again because that is the gist of my message tonight. The providence of God is working in our behalf to get us to a place to worship God. Amen. The marvelous conclusion of this book is that Obed was born. Amen. Which means worship. And I think the bottom line of the Christian life, and though we're not there in a great degree, we're missing that point today, is worship. Matter of fact, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, which I didn't plan to talk about tonight, but the Bible, if you go by the order, Abel worshiped, and then Noah worked, and then it's a progression, but it all begins with worship. So I think our life, to be what God wants it to be, it has to begin with the worship of God. Now, I know that's a simple statement, but let me just say a few things tonight to point us in that direction. Amen. This book commences with a man out of the will of God, amen, named Elimelech. But it concludes with a man in the will of God named Boaz. It commences in tragedy and death. It concludes in triumph and delight. It commences with heartbreak, brokenness, barrenness. It ends in happiness with a baby. Amen. It commences with a child dying. It concludes with a child being born. It commences with a woman losing her husband, but it concludes with a woman getting a husband. Amen. So this book is the providence of God working in the lives of these individuals to get them to a place of worship. That's the point I want to make. It is a story of redemption. Redemption makes a difference. Being redeemed makes a difference in our lives. This book is a book of redemption. And God is working in all their lives to get them to a place to worship God. And I believe above everything else, God wants us to worship Him more than He wants us to work for Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to Martha and Mary, hey, He said, Mary, you have chosen the better part. He said to Martha, one thing is needful. And so we can preach on that as well. But my point is simply this. Redemption makes a difference in our lives. Now, of course, you know this is the 8th book in the Bible. I think the providence of God did that. 8 is the number of new beginnings. God wants us to have a new beginning. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, I thank God for that. But even being saved, sometimes we have to stop and get a new beginning. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey, you know this book's between Judges and Samuel. Judges is the decline of the nation of Israel. Samuel is the setting up of the kingdom of Israel. Matter of fact, 1 Samuel is a false king called Saul, who is the type of the Antichrist. 2 Samuel is the real king. Amen. So right in the middle of Judges and Samuel is a book called Ruth about a Gentile woman, amen, marrying a Jew man named Boaz, which is a type of Christ in the church. And they're in the field gleaning, amen. If that's not a picture of the church, I wouldn't know what was. Hey, I'm a Gentile dog married to a Jew named Jesus in a field gleaning for the glory of God. Hallelujah. You notice I said gleaning. I didn't say reaping. I said gleaning. I'm over there in a little town called St. Stephen. You couldn't even find it with GPS. Somebody help me. I'm over there in a little corner of the field, amen, that nobody knows about. But God's got His eyes on me. God sees me reaping in the field. Somebody help me. I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, God's purpose in this book is redemption with the outcome that we may worship God. Hallelujah. So goes your worship, so goes the way you live. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're trying to get people to live right that don't worship. If you don't worship, you ain't going to live right. Hey, I believe we're trying to get people to work for God, and I know you can do that. We're trying to get people to work for God, but they never worship God. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching that in this church. Y'all know more about this than I do, but I am telling you tonight, the outcome of this book is that it had a child named Obed, who means worship Him. And all that transpires in these little 4 chapters is to get us to the last part of the book where Obed was born, called worship. God's purpose in His providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. I want to say that again. God's purpose and the providence of God working in our lives is not to make us comfortable. God is trying to conform us to the image of Christ. Amen. I mean trying. I'm not saying God's trying. I'm just simply saying the outcome is He wants us to conform to the image of Christ. Now, I want you to see that in the book of Ruth tonight with the Lord's help. So briefly, let me just give you an overview, and then I'll give you my 3 points, and we'll be through. Ruth was a Moabite. Amen. Down in a heathen land called Moab. And from all I read, of course, we know this to be true. She was a Gentile, a Moabite, a girl, a pagan, amen, did not know the God of heaven, did not know the God of glory. They worship a God called Chemosh, bro, I understand. So she's a heathen girl in a heathen land. And I don't have to go into any detail about Moab. All of us know where Moab come from. But God brought her in the ancestral line of the Son of God. By God's amazing grace, Ruth was brought into the family of the Son of God. That's enough to shout on right there. So now she Elimelech, who is a Jew, leaves Bethlehem, Judah, goes down to Moab because of a famine, and ends up having a funeral. He died, his son died, Chilion died, and Naomi is left with her daughter-in-law, amen, named Ruth. I mean, such a sad story. This is the days of the judges. The Bible said in chapter 1, verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. And I read a little bit about that today, and here's what they told me in my reading. There's never been a darker day in Israel than there was in that day when the judges were ruled. They said it was so such a dark day. I don't have to describe that, but it does speak to us about our day. We're in a dark day. Now, as much as I said about our president the other night, listen to me, spiritually, we're just as dark as we've ever been. I know we've offered some hope in the election, but I'm going to tell you what, the White House is not going to change our condition. Only God Almighty, through the people of God, can change our spiritual condition. Amen. So my point is simply this, Elimelech got out of the will of God, and as a result of that, his two sons died, and he died himself. It's dangerous to get out of the will of God. And we could preach on that and have preached on that. Naomi's left with her two daughter-in-laws. One named Orpha, one named Ruth. Amen. Orpha, she tells them to go back to Moab. Ruth listened to her, went back to Moab and started the TV program. Somebody hit me. She had one named Ruth, and Ruth would not go back. Amen. I told a young girls in my church the other night, I said, if you would listen to this old man as a preacher, I'll tell you how to get a husband. Ruth got a husband. If there was any girl that had no hope of getting, this is another message. If there's any girl that had no hope of getting a husband, it was Ruth. But she waited on God. She stayed with God. She followed the woman of God. She followed the man of God. And God gave her the best husband she could ever get. Dear God, I feel like preaching on that, but I ain't got no notes. Amen. Think I'll go back and preach on that Sunday. How you young girls can get a husband. Amen. A rich husband. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, if I knew you had notes, I'd preach on that tonight. Amen. When she gets to Bethlehem, she immediately goes to the field. I tell you how you can get a husband. Go to work. Go to work in God's field. Amen. But notice this, y'all know the story, y'all know the story. Chapter 2, verse 3, and the Bible said, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the field that belonged to Boaz. Now that's just a happen-so. God Almighty is working in the life of Ruth to get her to the right field. Oh, please help me. I want to run on ahead before I ever get there. Amen. Hey, the providence of God got her to the right place. Amen. Boaz was a kinsman. Boaz was wealthy. Boaz saw her in the field. Boaz asked his servants, who is that good-looking girl? Hallelujah. Boaz spake kindly of her and spake kindly to her. Boaz was the kinsman that was going to marry her. Thank God we got a heavenly Boaz. His name is Jesus. Amen.
Hey, notice what he did. He said to her, she said to him, verse 9 of chapter 2. Basically, here's what she said. Who am I that I would find favor in your sight? Who are we that we would find favor in the sight of our heavenly Boaz? Hey, wretched and low down and no good and sinners deserving hell. But Boaz looked on our condition. Yeah, amen and amen. I'm trying to get to my message. Y'all help me, amen. He showed grace. He showed favor to her. God showed grace and favor to us through Jesus. Our heavenly Boaz. Boaz told his workers. Chapter 2, verse 9. Let me read that. He said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And so our heavenly Boaz, hey, we found favor, we found grace in the eyes of God, and we marvel and say, why would God have mercy on us? Amen. He told his workers to protect her. He told those workers to provide for her. Amen. You know God was taking care of you before you ever got saved. You say, well, that's because I live so right, God's taking care of me. God was taking care of you before you ever got saved. God had you on his mind before you ever had God on your mind. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Amen. God gave her some handfuls on purpose. Verse 16. And let fall some of the handfuls to purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Now I'm trying to get them a message. So Boaz redeemed her. Boaz married her. They had children. They had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And right down that line, the ancestral line of the Son of God, through the providential working of God Almighty, and the handfuls of purpose were for the purpose of making Ruth belong to Boaz. Now, God did that for us, church, and we know that. I'm so thankful tonight that God had mercy on me. When I could not take care of myself, God took care of me. Amen and amen. But there was somebody else looking at her. And I think you see the typology. Hey, God Almighty was looking at her. God Almighty used Boaz, amen, to redeem her. But it was a providential working of the hands of God. And I'm going to tell you, God used Jesus, amen, to rescue us and save us. But it was a providential working of the hand of God that got us to where Jesus could save us. Amen and amen. Beloved, God was dropping handfuls of purpose for us, amen, to make us his, amen. So I want to mention three handfuls of purpose that God has used in our lives to get us to himself because he loves us so much. God has had to work in our lives, and I keep using that word providential, amen. God, the all-seeing God, knew what was up the road before you ever got up the road. And he was doing things to get us to a place where we would become his. And I know this is elementary, but it's all I got on my heart tonight. I know God put this on my heart. What did God use in our lives to get us to a place where he could redeem us so we would worship him? Number one, he used people. It ain't that deep. God used people to get you to a place where you would know Boaz. And then you would worship God. Number one, he used Elimelech. Wait a minute now, preacher. He used Elimelech. Elimelech's backslid. I know that. It's amazing who God uses us to get us to the place where we can know God. Now, don't you misread what I'm fixing to say. But I'm going to tell you, this is in this book. God used a backslid man named Boaz out of the will of God. She was a Gentile worshiping a pagan god. And God let their paths cross. Are you listening? God used Mahlon in her life. She married a man named Mahlon, and she was not to marry him. Stay with me now. Hey, it was decreed in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, that they were not to marry each other. And yet, out of the will of God, away from Bethlehem, Judah, down in Moab, Mahlon married a Moabite girl. When you get away from God, your children's going to pay. Are you listening to me? Anytime you go to make a move from the house of God, Bethlehem, Judah, that's the house of God and the house of praise, house of bread. Anytime you move out of the house of God, here's who's going to suffer, your children. Mark that down. I've been pastor of one church 36 years. Here's what I've seen in 36 years. Mom and daddy move out of the house of God, house of praise, house of bread. I'm going to tell you who it affects. It affects the children. Amen and amen. I'm not here to preach on that. I'm just simply saying he married the wrong girl. Amen. Naomi told her to go back. Naomi said, I'm leaving. I've heard there's bread in Bethlehem, back in Bethlehem, Judah. I'm leaving. Here's what Ruth said. I want to go with you, mom-in-law. She said, no, you go back to Moab. I mean, Naomi's giving her daughter-in-law bad advice. Stay with me now. God is using Elimelech. God is using Mahlon. God is using Naomi in the life of Ruth to get her to know God. What are you trying to say? It was through that family she heard about Jehovah God. A backslid family. Nobody believes it any more than I do. You ought to do it right. You ought to live right. You ought to do right. But I'm going to tell you what. I read in the Bible, the book of Psalms, God can use the heathen to praise his name. God's wrath. God can use his man's wrath to cause praise to be in his name. God is working through, hey, people out of the will of God to get this woman to know Jehovah God. Are y'all listening to me? And when you look back over your life, think about this, how God worked in your life to get you to know God. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say? I was raised in a drunkard's home. This is not just preaching. This is a settled fact. Everybody knows this. My daddy was a town drunk. My daddy was known as being Alan Willis, the town drunk. His name was, they didn't call him Alan, they called him Nat. And I was raised in a drunkard's home. It was so bad I couldn't bring nobody home with me from school. I mean, my daddy would go uptown. They would bring my daddy home in the middle of the night, drop him out in the yard. We'd have to drag my daddy in the house. I'm going to tell you what, I remember one night my daddy fell dead. His eyes rolled back in his head. And my mama hollered, hey, Alfred, Alfred, go get your aunt. Your daddy's dying. Your dad. I remember as a young boy running up the hill to get my aunt to come to the house. And we got my daddy. When I got back to my house, my daddy, my mama said, it's like God told her to lift his head up and put a pillow on it. And she said when she did that, he grasped his breath and started breathing. And so we got my daddy up and put him in the bed. And we got him in the bed. Here's the first thing he said, go get me something to drink. I was raised in a drunkard's home. And tonight I'm a Baptist preacher. Hallelujah. Lush, yes, Cherise says on that tonight. God passed by the Willis house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, my mama didn't know much doctrine. My mama was a Christian. All my heart, I believe my mama's night and night I got saved. Amen. My mama gave me some advice after I got saved. I don't mean this wrong. Please don't take this wrong. I got in the Bible after I got saved. I learned a little bit more. I didn't become a know-it-all, but I got where I studied the Bible. My mama was raised in a Pentecostal home. And so I got in the Bible, and my mama didn't know the doctrines that we know, like we know them. Amen. But she loved God. I know sometimes we believe, well, she didn't have the right doctrine. She couldn't have loved God. I think she was serving God to the best she could with what she had. Amen. Please don't write me off on that. Hey, my grandmama was Pentecostal. I'm talking about the Pentecostal. Her sleeves were down here. Her dress was down here. She had a bun in her head. Amen. I remember the little boy going to Pentecostal church. I remember they said they got in the spirit. Amen. I remember seeing my grandmama dance down the aisle. I'm telling you, Bobby Flint flew out everywhere. Her hair fell down to her waist. And she was a shouting the victory. But that ain't right. You listen to me? My grandmama didn't know the right doctrines. I believe she's in heaven. Listen to me. She wrote me a note when I graduated from high school. And I don't want this to be about me tonight. That's not why I'm fear of preaching this tonight. She wrote me a note when I graduated from high school. She said, Alfred, I want you to know I love you, grandson, and I'm praying that God will save you. I hope when I got saved, I don't know how all that goes on in heaven. I hope she was informed that night. I was in a Pentecostal church the night I got saved. They probably let grandmama know over there in heaven. Hey, it just happened. She probably shouted again. Bobby Penn flew everywhere. I think I got a little touch of what she got. All set when I shouted, my hair fell out. Amen. Somebody. I'm just simply saying, hey, I would have rather the situation been right. I'd rather them been independent Baptist, fundamental. But hey, God providentially worked through this situation to get us to God. Elimelech wasn't right with God. Hey, I'm telling you what, there was a lot of confusion in the life of Ruth to see all that she saw. But she met the Jehovah God down there where she was. She didn't know Jehovah God. Anybody listening? I was working with a man on a job. Amen. Me and him worked every day together. He's Church of God. Amen. He was informing me about different doctrines of the Bible. Amen. He told me, you say, Alfred, you need to get the Holy Ghost. I was praying for it. I didn't know no better. I was standing up. I was raising me a hog. I was down by the hog tent praying. Oh, God, the preacher said I need the Holy Ghost. I pray you'd give me the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I already had him. Hallelujah. I mean, these people knew God. I believe they knew God, Pastor. I really do. But they didn't know the doctrines of what we know. God was using him, perfect people, to get us to where we need to be. It's a marvel of God tonight. I ain't Jesse Duplantis. Everything surrounding me was Pentecostal. I got saved in the man who wrote the lighthouse. There's a lighthouse. That's the man who led me to Christ. Ronnie Henson led me to Christ. When I got up to leave, he said to me, he said, hey, Brother Willis, you just hold on now. I said, I got you, Doc. I held on for a year. Then I found out later, God's holding me. Glory. Man, I'm telling you, I think we do. I wish everything was a perfect situation to get us where we need. But God uses imperfect people to get us to a perfect God. Glory. Hallelujah. I feel so good tonight I could shout. I'm telling you, if I wasn't preaching tonight when that choir cranked up and y'all started saying, I'm telling you, I'd have had me a spell. Now I'm telling you. Some of y'all backslid. Y'all should have did it for me. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, I looked over the pastor. I thought one time he's going to cut loose. I said, sure as he gets something runs, I'm going to follow him. Somebody help me. Hallelujah. Then my wife got saved. Hallelujah. When my wife got saved, God's working through all this to get me to God. I wasn't saved. Got all these people in my life, imperfect in their doctrines, imperfect in their beliefs. I believe no God. Then my wife got saved. Brother, I'm going to tell you, business did pick up then. Amen. She's raised Methodist. Somebody help. I took her to a Baptist revival. Now here I am, lost as Hogan's Goat. And we had revival in my hometown church. And my wife was raised in the Methodist church. And I'm not knocking Methodists. I'm just simply saying, here's what I'm saying. And so she said, I want to go to revival at your church. Well, I didn't even go to church. I said, well, if you want to go, let's go. And they had a man from Michigan, a preacher from Michigan, come to Cottageville, South Carolina, a little hole in the road, and preach revival. And he preached the gospel. And my wife, for the first time in her life, heard the gospel. She had never heard the gospel before. And they give an invitation. And oh, my Lord, she stepped out and walked down the aisle. I said, oh, God, I'm in trouble. And God gloriously saved. And then she come back home. And I won't have to go into all that, but I'm telling you what, my wife started living with God, didn't know what to do, didn't know nothing about the teachings, and just started living, listening to Dr. Seitler on the radio, and a preacher named Irving Register. What everybody said, Irving Register, that's what everybody said about it. He is a fanatic. And my wife was so ashamed, she wouldn't let nobody know she was listening to him. And God was using them, because even the Baptist church, when that evangelist left, it was dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Right after she got saved, the preacher comes to the house. He didn't say nothing about her salvation. He didn't say nothing about spiritual things. Said, would you teach Sunday school? I mean, she's 2 weeks old of the Lord, and they want her to teach Sunday school. Is anybody listening? It's just God. My point is, it's just God. Hey, Ruth didn't know nothing about the God of glory. Hey, God led her back to Bethlehem, Judah. And she goes down to a field. She don't even know what field to go to. But God just leads her to the right. Oh, my soul. I was going to preach this message. I did preach this message a couple Sundays ago. And right before I got up to preach, Brother Lance Neal, who's in our church, and I've called his name several times, he said, preacher, before you preach today, could I say something? And I'm telling you, Brother Donnie, he jumped up and started testifying. He said, all of y'all know that I was raised a Lutheran.
He said, I thought I was a pretty good fella. I mean, I was a pool room bum. I drank beers, and I did all that goes along with that. And he said, I still thought I was all right with God, because I'd go to the Lutheran church, and the priest would act like he'd forgive my sins. And he told a story about how he was a Lutheran, and he went to the fire station, and they had a fire-breathing independent Baptist preacher working in the fire station. And that fire, and he was in there because you have a 24-hour shift and you cook on the shift. And so he's sitting in the fire station. He's sitting down at the table. And that independent Baptist preacher walked down there and said, what are you doing, sir? He said, well, I'm on my break. I'm just trying to get something to eat. He said, you ever heard about Jesus and that Jesus can save you? And he took his King James Bible and laid it out on the table and pointed Lance Neal to Christ. Lance Neal said, I had never heard the gospel before. Never heard the gospel before. And he said, my boss come to me and said, Chaplain, said Lance Neal, he said, that guy who works in here, he's a fanatic. He said, don't hang around him. He said, if he comes at you, you better run, because he tries to get everybody converted. He thinks everybody needs to get saved. And Brother Lance said he couldn't get away from that presentation. And I think about 2 days later, 3 days later, hey, Lance Neal got down on his knees and called on God in the fire station and got gloriously saved, and the fire got put out. That body helped me. Now he's a Baptist preacher. Is anybody listening? Brother Jeff, a Lutheran. I said, here's what blows my mind. Brother Lance, you live like a dog. How did you think you saved? He said, the Lutheran church taught me I was all right. I'm not saying if you're Lutheran, your church has told you. I'm just telling you, there's Baptist churches teach wrong. Brother Jeff was a Lutheran. Brother Jeff said, preacher, we've heard his testimony. I've heard Brother Jeff's testimony so many times that I can tell it better than him. Said, preacher, could I give a tithe? I said, you can give it, Brother Jeff. You want me to give it for you? He said, I was working on a shrimp boat. And he said, I was living in a place called the Rat Shack. And he said, I was working on a shrimp boat. And he said, one day I was on the shrimp boat, and a man walked by. And he said, hey, buddy, how you doing? Something about Jesus loves you. And Brother Jeff said, here I am, I got it. He called that an afro? He had an afro haircut. He had earrings in his ears. Amen. He said, Jesus loves me. He said, yeah, Jesus. He said, we're having a Bible study at my house. Would you come? Brother Jeff said, a Presbyterian invited me to a Bible study. They had the wrong Bible, but he cared for me. He said, nobody else in the Lutheran church had ever told me that. He said, yes, sir, I'll come to your Bible study. He said, I started going to his Bible study. And he said, I started learning about God. And he said, then God put me on a job with some independent Baptists. And I'd already heard about God. And man, they was like sick up to a bulldog. And I got saved. Amen. Now he's running the home rescuing drug addicts like he was. The providence of God. Look back over your life. I don't want to just talk about all of us. I want you to look back over your life, how God worked in your life to get you where you need to be. Only God. God used these backslid Jewish family to get Ruth to know the real God. God uses people. Imperfect they are. I'd rather them been more right. I don't have to preach that tonight. But here's some imperfect people with the God of heaven, and God is using them to put the seed of salvation in her heart. God uses people. Can I give you point number two of handfuls on purpose? God uses problems. God's not out to make you comfortable. God is out to make you conformable. He uses problems. Could I give you this? And I'm hurrying. Her husband got sick. Malon got sick. They tell me the name Malon means puny. Amen. Somebody said that was because of Elimelech and Naomi getting out of the will of God. Their children were sickly. Are you listening? Her husband got sick. Listen to this. Her husband died. Ruth's husband died. He got sick, but then he died. Had he lived, she might have not never got on the Moab. Think with me now, y'all. I'm preaching. This ain't Sunday school. But hey, had Malon lived, they might have never got out of Moab. But Malon died. God is working to get Ruth out of Moab and get her to the house of God and the house of praise, Bethlehem, Judah. He's working. Hey, God ain't out to make us comfortable. What somebody said, I just heard it this week. We've all preached that. God ain't out to make you happy. God's out to make you holy.
We are in a day in our churches, we're trying to make people happy. God ain't interested in you being happy. God is interested in you being holy. And when you're holy, you'll have true happiness. The other happiness is just a false happiness, amen. God is working in my life, in your life, not to make us happy, but to make us holy. Amen and amen. Now, he's doing that in love. Amen. Her husband got sick. Her husband died. She's got financial problems. If you're a widow in that day and you ain't got a husband, you're in financial problems. That's why they had the fields where they could go glean in the fields. There was some handfuls dropped in the field on purpose to help the poor, to help the widow. That was their welfare system. Their welfare system wasn't like our welfare system today. You sit home and get a check. No, if you was going to live, they had a system to help you live, but you had to work to get it. God ain't never promoted laziness. Amen, amen. I thought that was a good point. Hallelujah. I had to read it, but it was good. Amen. God had a welfare system, but you had to work to get it. Amen, amen. I get so sick of that. Don't let me get on that. Do you know your problems could be God's handfuls of purpose to get you to worship? Now, the outcome of this book is worship. Amen. God is using problems. Have we not seen that tonight? I watched y'all in the choir. God is using problems in our life. Could I say this, preacher? Could I say this? I used to preach for a preacher, and I'm all saying all this forever. I have every right to say this. I used to preach in a camp meeting every year in Kentucky. His name was Mike Robbins. And in 1997, Mike Robbins invited me to come preach at a camp meeting in his church at Mayfield Creek Baptist Church in Kentucky. And I would go out there every year. 1997, I went out every year. And then one year, and I say this reverently because, this is talked about. Mike Robbins went to church on Sunday morning, went over to the church on Sunday morning, told his wife he was going to check something in the church. He'd be right back. They just built a brand new $1.5 million fellowship hall, and he said he was going over there to check on something. And when he went over there, he never came back. And when they found Mike Robbins, he was in his truck, and he killed himself. Took a gun, put it in his head, blew his brains out. I never met a preacher. I'm telling you, all the preachers that I've met, I never met a preacher that had a greater church than Mike Robbins. He had young people. Everything was good. He had possessions. As far as looking at a ministry, it was an ideal ministry. It looks like he was just set to live. Had a beautiful wife, kids, everything seemed to be going well. But he killed himself. Well, I was preaching revival with Buster Mullins. I'd never preached with Brother Buster Mullins before. And they called me and told me he was dead and he was having a funeral. And I called up and I talked to Ms. Robbins. I said, Ms. Robbins, I'm in a meeting. I said, I've never preached for this pastor before, but I'm willing to tell him I'm getting out of the meeting to come to the funeral. She said, Brother Willis, she said, Brother Mike, we want you to preach the revival. You stay and preach the revival, and maybe you can come later. Well, we preached the revival, and the next week, me and my wife went to Kentucky, and we walked in that church on a Wednesday night. Now, I'm talking about the pastor's dead in a bad situation, and that choir walked in on a Wednesday night, dressed to a tee, got in the choir, sang the praises of God, shouted the praises of God. With all the problems they had, they worshiped. God is using our problems to get us to worship. And that's easy for me to say. But God allows problems in our life to get us to worship God. Anybody listening? That sounds awful hard. That is hard. But I'm telling you what, God wants to be worshiped. And he providentially works in our life to get us to a place where we will worship God. Amen and amen. Hey, listen to me. Problems bring people to Christ. I'm telling you, preacher, I preached to men in jail. You in prison. You would never preach to if they was out on the street. Dead men come to our home. They would never let you give them the gospel if they didn't have problems in their life. I sat in my office last Wednesday, and a 22-year-old boy, this is not, has nothing to do with the home, 22-year-old boy walked to my office, 22 years old. I mean, tattoos up his arm. I mean, tattoos across his face. I mean, his uncle brought him to me. He overdosed. He liked to die. His uncle got him to me, brought him into my office last Wednesday. And I'm telling you what, the only reason that boy would let me talk to him is because he had a problem. That family hates me. That family he's from hates me. But when he got in trouble, he come to where we were. God uses problems to get us to worship God. Amen and amen. What does God use providentially? He uses people. He uses problems. We could go on all night. He uses places. That's a handful of purpose. The Bible said her hat was the light on Boaz's field. God uses certain places. Stay with me now. God got her out of the country of Moab and got her to Judah. And you put, well, here's where I put my note, preacher. Can you imagine her walking into the house of God coming from Moab? Bethlehem, Judah means the house of God, and the house of praise, the house of bread, and the house of praise. Can I put that in our day? That's the house of God. Can you imagine her leaving Moab and all that perversion and coming into the house of praise? Sometimes I watch them walk in our church, amen, just like y'all do. They're tattooed from one end to the other. I mean, I'm telling you, they, it looks like the world has beat them up. And they walk into the house of God. They've been out there in the land of perversion. And they walk into the house of praise with people acting like y'all was acting tonight. Wonder what they think. Dear Lord, these people's crazy. They don't think nothing about it. They go to rock concerts and shout their lungs out and do the jive and do the boogaloo, amen. That was back in my day. I don't know what to do today. And then they look at us because we say, amen. These people are crazy. Are you listening to me? Hey, friend, I got more to shout about tonight than you've got to shout about. Hallelujah. Hey, you shouting and going to hell. I'm shouting and going to heaven. Yeah, God, it's time God's people get excited. But can you imagine her leaving that country and coming to Judah? Can you imagine her leaving? Can you imagine her coming to the city of Bethlehem? Anybody listening? I got a lady in my church, sister. Y'all ain't gonna believe this, but I'm gonna tell you this. And I don't want this to be about me. I got a lady in my church from England. She married a boy in the Air Force and come back and come to our church and got saved. Brother Dwight Banks was preaching revival, and she walked down the aisle and got saved. I mean, she is English. I mean, she is a tea-drinking English lady. My wife's always giving her tea bags. Thank you, Sister Lenora. I mean, tea. And she listens to me preach with the English I got and says, "Whoa, preacher, I love your preaching." That's because she don't understand me. I mean, she is one of the best church members I got, thanking me all the time, for giving me praise all the time. Don't know what we would do without you. Hey, she's come all the way from England to America to get saved. Glory to God. She's got a twin sister, just looks identical to her, that's not saved. And she's praying that her sister will get saved. I'm just simply saying, hey, can you imagine? Can you imagine her walking in from Moab to Judah and down to Bethlehem? Then she goes to the field that belongs to Boaz. It was her hap. It was her hap to light on that field. Anybody listening? Think of God's providence. I'm through. Think of God's providence working in your life. My wife, I told her, listen to an independent Baptist preacher on the radio. I'm telling you, this man was known to be crazy. I'm telling you, when he preached, we ended up in that church. When he preached, I'm telling you what preacher he would preach. I left a church, honest to God, I left the church I was raised up in. When I got saved, they didn't want me in that church no more. I ain't going to tell you that story. I mean, I said amen, and they run me out of the church. And I ended up in this independent Baptist church, and the pastor of the church I left, here's what he would say. Could we say that God is a good God? Now, could we say it? I want to say it. Say it! Say it! I really did. And one Sunday, this is no joke, because I'm preaching the truth. One Sunday, he slipped up and said something positive. I said, amen! That got me throughout. I mean, he was at my house that afternoon and said, we got a problem. I said, preacher, what is the problem? He said, you said amen in church this morning, and you and your wife went to the altar, and the church people are upset. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, all I'm telling you, Alfred, is don't rock the boat. I said, you're telling me to leave. He said, no, I'm not telling you to leave. He said, I am telling you, don't rock the boat. I didn't rock it. I turned it over. I got out of that boat. I found me a church like this one, and the preacher was dying for somebody to say, amen! I don't even know. I didn't even want to get into that. My point is simply, we ended up in that church. My wife wouldn't have let nobody alone. She's listening to that man on the radio. And we ended up going to that church. You listen, the whole family thought we went crazy. Said, yeah, y'all following that cult leader. Hello? Amen. Hey, we used to be legalists. Now we cults. I was thinking today, preaching, we was talking. We used to be called legalists. We're worse than that now. We're a cult now. Thank God, join the cult. Amen. She said, hey, then my daughter got put in a daycare center because my wife was a beautician. Guess where my wife said, let's put her? Let's put her in the daycare at that church. Now I'm getting a double portion. Anybody listening? The church I was in was dead. I didn't know independent from Southern, from free will. I'm just trying to tell you, God was working to get me to the right place. And God did that for you. I wish all of you could preach tonight. I wish that, preacher, this is a mess like this. It's, I don't want it to be about me. I just want you to see your life, how God worked in your life to get you where you are. Hey, it is the mercy of God that you're still living. You could have been dead 100 times. You could have been busted up and broken and beaten to death, but God in providence spared you to get to this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah to God. Why, God works to get us to the place. Amen. God worked me, get me to a Pentecostal meeting one night on a Thursday night, and I gloriously got saved in a Pentecostal church. I'm telling you, I said this before, it's a one night in a Pentecostal preacher. How did I get out of that and get in this? God did it. God watched over me and got me here. I believe we're right. I just believe this. I believe what we're teaching. I believe what we're preaching is right. If I didn't, I'd be something else. I'm convinced what we got is the right thing. If I didn't believe that, I'd join the Catholic Church. Amen. Are y'all listening? God just providentially. You know, I read over in the First Kings. He said, you go to that certain place over there where y'all hit me over there. First Kings chapter 3, Elijah, he said, you go to a certain place and I'll take care of you there. He said, I'll take care of you there. And Stanley Ballou preached this one time. What's the difference between here and there? And you know what he said? He said, it's this, a T. He said, what's the difference between here and there? He said, a T called a cross. Hey, what's the difference between here and there? It's the cross. It's the cross. Amen. Wish I'd have got that myself. Amen. I have to give credit to whom credit's due. Amen. Hey, notice this. Had she not been in the right field, she wouldn't have met Boaz. Hallelujah. Hey, he said, pursue that place. The Bible said in verse 3 of chapter 2, she went to that place. Amen. The providence of God to get her to that place. It was the field of Boaz. That's where God put her, in the field of Boaz. That's where she met Boaz, whom she was going to marry. Anybody listen? Preacher, could I say this and I'm through? Y'all, I'm going to walk out here tonight and beat myself all the way home and say, all that sermon was about you. I want you to see yourself in it. Please see yourself tonight. Hey, God works in your life like he worked in mine. I can't preach your testimony. If you'd come up here and preach it, I'd listen to you. God providentially got you to the right place to meet the right person called Boaz. Hey, here's what happened, Brother Donnie. I was working at the Navy Yard, and a man who was a welder, I was a pipe fitter, and a man who was a welder was walking across the dry dock like this. And the welder come walking across the dry dock, and he handed that welder a track. He said, read that, buddy. And that man kept on walking. And that welder walked on and got to a quiet place, sat down and read that track, God's Plan of Salvation, and got gloriously saved in the Navy Yard. Well, God, I'm a pipe fitter, and they put me and that welder together. So I'm the pipe fitter, and he's the welder. And he's telling me how he got saved. And he said, but Brother Willis, I don't know whether I'm saved eternally. I don't know whether I can lose it. And I was able to teach him from the Bible what the Bible said. And so we set a well in the pipe fit. And we, you know, on lunchtime now. I said, on lunchtime. He started coming in the room where I eat lunch, and I started teaching him what all I knew about the Bible and how you were saved forever and da-da-da-da-da. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to a little mission church out from the First Baptist Church in my town." He said, "Nothing but poor people. Would you come preach revival?" I said, "Brother, now wait a minute now." I said, "Where do you send your money? Do you support the cooperative?" He said, "No, we just keep our money because the big church won't have nothing to do with it because we're the poor people. And the First Baptist Church, they got the rich people, so we just keep our money." I said, "I'll come preach for you." And preacher, this is the truth. I went and preached revival for him. Listen now. Don't get too excited about the first part now. When that revival ended up, they were sitting around outside the building looking in the windows. And people was getting saved. And it wasn't a big building. I don't want y'all to think it was thousands of people. Amen. But they were standing outside the building with the windows up, looking in, and people was getting saved. Well, the mission church caught on fire for God in that revival meeting, and the First Baptist Church was dying, and they got a preacher of the First Baptist Church and said, "We're taking over the mission." He said, "Brother Willis, you can leave." Well, some people got saved in that meeting. And they said, "Brother Willis, would you come back to St. Stephen and start a church?" I said, "Well, I reckon so. We can get a building." They said, "We'll find the building." Stay with me now. I went and we started in the little lunchroom. I mean, rickety, rackety, roaches running everywhere. Lunchroom. And God started saving people. And God started Life Baptist Church, a place of worship, out of a man getting a tract that put us together on the job. You couldn't have lined that up in a million years. God lined it up. And please don't take this, because me and the preacher was talking the other day, and he wouldn't mind if I say this. I give the glory to God. And God, through that little country church, has given over millions of dollars to mission. Hey, because one tract got handed to a fella. God did that. Man, I'm telling you, preach up in these mountains, you people will kill a white man. What are you trying to say, preacher? When you follow the path of obedience, providence works in your behalf. Amen and amen. Hey, this woman got saved. Now let me give you this, and this is my end of my message right here. Notice this right here. I want you to see this right here. Look back at our text tonight, if you would. Look back at our text. Please see this. Amen. Do you know there was no worship in chapter 1? In chapter 1, there wasn't nothing but grief. There was no worship in chapter 2. Chapter 2, there's nothing but gleaning. You can glean and not worship. There was no worship in chapter 3. There was grain on the floor, but there wasn't no worship. But when you get chapter 4, great favor, they worship. They got Obed. Worship come because there was a wedding. There was no worship. Hey, where there is no wedding, there is no worship. But them two got wedded, and as an outcome of that, oh God, but as an outcome of that wedding, a child was born called worship. Now here we go. I'm about true. Now here we go. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I done got all my notes messed up. Do you know worship is used 108 times in the Bible? Somebody said if it's used one time, you better listen. But if it's used 108 times, you better pay a lot of attention. Now get this, and I promise you I'm through. Do you know prayers occupied with needs? Praise is occupied with blessings. And preacher, I'm telling you, for God, just in the last week or two, here's what I prayed this. And I ain't trying to sound spiritual. I'm just trying to bear my heart. I said, "God, you know why I think I'm so happy? Because you've blessed me so much." And then I started praying, "God, I don't want to just be happy and joyful in God because I'm so blessed. I got car, I got food, I got clothes, I got a good wife, I got a good church. I'm so blessed. But God, you want more than that. You want me to praise you for more than my blessings." Hey, praise is occupied with blessings. Prayer is occupied with needs. But worship is occupied with God. Amen. You know what God wants? He wants us to be occupied with Him. That's where the blessings come from. That's why we ought to praise Him. But I'm going to tell you what, we ought to get further than that down the road. We ought to be occupied with God. Not just the blessing, but the blesser. Oh, I'm through. If you have a wedding, you're going to have an Obed. If you really meet God, there's going to be a place where you go worship. Are y'all listening to me? I close my Bible and I put it up and I say this. You know what? I wrote this in my notes. Boaz didn't have no trouble marrying Ruth a Moabite. Boaz didn't have no problem marrying a Gentile. You know why? He had a mama named Rahab. He said, look, God, how God used her. She was a Gentile harlot. And God used mama. God, oh, Lord have mercy. If God can use my mama, God can show you Ruth. Amen. And God did use Ruthie. I'm through. Dr. Sightler, come. Preached at our church one time. Telling the preacher that this week. And Dr. Sightler walked to the pulpit. Dear God, preacher, I love this pulpit. Please will this to me when you die. Dr. Sightler walked to my pulpit and he said this. He said, well, we're down in St. Stephen, right outside of Charleston. He said, dry, dead, starchy religion. He said, y'all's forefather was Episcopal. He said this in my pulpit. He said, y'all's forefathers was Episcopal. Dry, dead, and starchy. I'm sitting there thinking, well, I wonder why the further I get up the country toward Greenville and in the foot of the mountains and on up, I wonder why they were so vocal up there. But they didn't have that down in the low country. I didn't ask him that. I wouldn't have asked Dr. Sightler that because I was scared to talk to him. He said, but your forefathers was Episcopal. And so therefore you're dead and dry. He said, but I've been praying for you. What'd he say? He said, I've been praying because a lot of y'all don't know. I was born about 50 miles from here in a place called St. George. I never knew that. He said, I was born in the low country. And then when I was a younger boy, my mom and daddy moved upstate. And to make a long story short, and then he went to ministry. He said, so I've been praying for the low country of South Carolina that God would raise up fundamental churches, Baptist churches, that would worship God. You know what? He prayed that for many years. He's dead and in heaven. You know, God is raising up independent fundamental churches in the lower part of South Carolina. Worship. We have a camp meeting down in the lower part of South Carolina. Run 600 or 700 in the night service. We didn't know what camp meeting was years ago. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, y'all are very dry. Y'all very dry and dead. He said, but now up in our part of the country, he said, Baptists were shouting long time before Pentecostals. He said, because our forefathers were Baptists. Listen to me now. So with that teaching, when I come to the mountains, you know what I expect? Worship. He said, we're vocal in our worship. I said, glory to God, Reb. Keep on preaching. You helping me. He said, we're vocal Baptists. We worship vocally. We praise vocally. I said, glory to God, Reb. Tell them about it, amen. Because they think I am a freak. Hello. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God wants our churches to worship. Now, that may not always be vocal. Praise is vocal. Worship may not always be vocal. But I'm going to tell you what, if you worship God long enough, it's going to break out on you. Amen. Hey, out of that union, Obed was joined. Worship was born. Do you have a union tonight? Have you been married to the Lamb of God? He wants worship. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this service tonight. Lord, I felt the very presence of God in this service tonight. The singing, the testimonies, great liberty in the pulpit. Thank you to be in a church that knows something about worship. God, we could all move up another notch. Please help us to do that tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight don't understand what we've done and what we've said and how we've shouted and how we've proclaimed the goodness of God. Help them to understand it. Lord, the God of heaven, the God of heaven, the God of heaven in His providence watched over us to get us to a place to worship Him. And when I look back over my life and as congregation and look back over our lives, we have every right to worship God. Thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pastor's going to come. The altar's open. Get some help tonight, church. I hope you get some help tonight. Amen. As we sing, you get some